Hello, 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 and welcome back. You are on right now on the field with Captain Quality on radio.dominican.edu. This is Penguin Radio. So I'd like to start off by saying welcome back for all of you that are back for our second round of On the Field with Captain Quality. Obviously, I'm your host, Captain Quality. Now, what to expect on today's show? Obviously, a little intro, a small recap of what we went over last week, a new segment on Journey to the MCLA with a special guest, poll updates, our upset of the week, as well as weekly awards and other recent news that grabbed the attention of Captain Quality this week. I'll just start off by saying right now the poll updates have been in and a lot of surprising changes have been made according to my notes. Beneficially for us, the poll updates do happen every Wednesday. So right before our show, I take a quick glance at those polls, maybe during the day, see what's been updated. And quite honestly, I like what I see personally. Obviously, right now, we still have University of Colorado topping that MCLA Division I spot. Right now, University of Colorado has not played their first game of the season. They will open up soon against Grand Canyon University, which is obviously a matchup everyone wants to see. It's a, for those of you who don't know, it is last year's championship matchup where Grand Canyon University ended up beating University of Colorado by just a mere goal to win the national title. As of right now, I'm sure University of Colorado wants to come out with that first game of the season and have some sort of win and just come out, firing off. I mean, they have this one spot right now. They haven't played a game. Some people might say, why give them such high of a ranking? They haven't played their first game yet. And quite honestly, I feel like based off their, they've got enough credibility. They've got that high stature of the reputation just to have them secure that one spot despite not playing a game yet. And That's just me going off what I think. But anyway, right now, and obviously, we have University of Dayton still topping for the third week in a row that one spot in MCLA Division II, followed by Concordia University Orvine, who did actually receive one first-place vote this week, from what I can tell from my resources, which, I mean, good enough for them, repping the SoCal, I like it. University of Dayton still reigning champ of MCLA Division II. They want to keep that spot secure, and right now they're doing a damn good job of it. And, I mean, I got nothing else to say about that. Some poll changes that have been made this week, some drastic, some may not. I think the biggest poll change right now, we'll talk about this later in the show, is Boise State going from not top 25 all the way up to the 19th spot, moving up 8 places, coming out of the guns, really, kind of a sleeper team no one really expected to see this year. So later we'll talk about that. And our drop-down spot right now is Arizona State University dropping from 3 to 4 after suffering a loss this past week. For Division II, our biggest change upwards would be University of Minnesota Duluth. I'm sure it's a school not many of us have heard of, but they moved up 9 spots from the 15th spot, which is now held by Sierra Nevada College, who dropped 2. And they moved all the way, and Minnesota Duluth has moved up to that 6th spot in the MCLA Division II rankings. I mean, you have to give credit to a team that moves up 9 spots in just a weekly poll. Nine spots is hard to do. Some teams thrive off moving up, one or two spots. They get a little hurt. They go down one or two spots, two, three spots. But you got a team like Minnesota Duluth, who at this point has just moved up that many spots. I'm taking a look at them right now. They won their first game against St. John's on Saturday, February 20th, 11-7. A good win against a good top-notch MCLA Division II team. But the game that stands out to me right now is the University of North Dakota game they faced on Sunday, February 21st, just one day after, where they beat University of North Dakota 33-1. And yeah, you heard that correctly. That is 33-1, a score I can't say I've ever seen in lacrosse in my 7 years of playing. I've seen a few 20 games. Never have I seen a team beat another team by 32 goals. I'm going to check out the stats for that game right now. I see it for Minnesota Duluth. A couple players with two goals. I got Jacob Pitts, attackman, number 4 with 5 goals, 5 assists. The player of the game for them, obviously. But from what I can tell, the game was really spread out. No one dominating or just taking over the performance. The teams obviously played well and just outplayed a team, the North Dakota team, that just was not ready out there. For whatever reason, obviously, maybe it's lower tier Division II team against a higher tier Division II team. But a big shout out for those Division II teams making headlines right now. I mean, who would have thought that any one of them would score 33 goals in a game? It's beyond me. But that's why they've got the that 9 spot ranking. I'm sure that's that went noticed that that went that didn't go unnoticed. Definitely not. So, of course, going back to our Division I rankings, our lowest drastic drops besides Arizona State were, of course, Florida State and Simon Fraser University. Florida State University going down from that 18th spot down to 22, and Simon Fraser going from that 20 spot down to 23 after each team suffered a loss this past week throughout the polls. Now let's take a look at Simon Fraser University first, and going back to the team we talked about earlier. They suffered an 11-13 loss against the uprising Boise State University. I'm sure that helps Boise State in their climb to that new spot they have now over at number 19. It was a 13-11 loss in favor of Boise State. I mean, Simon Fraser, a top-notch program, always ranked team here in the MCLA. They're not a team to roll over. Obviously, they had that first win against Western Washington 16-2 and had a tough four-goal loss to Brigham Young University, who's a top-five team in the MCLA Division I. They lost by 4 goals. And this Boise State game, I can't speak on behalf of Simon Fraser, but as a fan of the game, as a fan of MCLA, I'm sure that most listeners and most fans going into that game didn't expect a Boise State victory. And I think that really surprised a lot of people. And right now, Boise State's starting to make a name for themselves, starting to come up right now in the rankings. And obviously, Lid will talk about that. But I just feel like maybe Simon Fraser didn't come in fully to that game. I don't know. Maybe Boise State could be the real deal this year, and we haven't seen enough of them yet. But for Simon Fraser, they've got a tough slate coming up with Oregon State, a University of Washington, and a University of Oregon, who I feel like teams are also sleeping on. After beating Dominican University of California 22-8, Oregon faced another WCLL team, Chico State University in Oregon, and won 17-4. WCLL is full of top-notch competitive programs, and Oregon has been able to take down two of those teams almost effortlessly. So they have their next game is Friday, February 26th against the University of Idaho, and I think that'll be a good test for them. Last year they lost to the University of Idaho 11-9. They really want this game back. I feel like they would want it back, being able to prove that, okay, we're back this year. This is our game. This is our team this year. This is our year, and they're beating teams by a good amount of goals. So I'm certainly looking to make that statement against the University of Idaho. But I think the game to look out for Oregon would be the University of Colorado game on Friday, March 4th, when they take on who is currently right now the number one ranking team in the MCLA Division I. And I'm not saying, you know, Oregon's going to come out here and be the next big team. Obviously, they're 24th right now in the MCLA polls for the second week in a row, week one, week two. But I know that the team has a lot of talent on it. They're taking out teams from top-notch conferences. And I wouldn't sleep on them personally. I would look at them. I'd keep going back to them. And we're going to talk about Oregon later on tonight, actually. And right now, actually, as a matter of fact. I have some notes taken down, but Oregon's still making headlines. Junior attackman Grant Clifford scored 5 goals, and freshman attackman John Finnegan added 3 more as the number 24 Oregon Ducks beat Chico State 17-4. Though coach John Bongiorno was happy with the team's play, he knows they are better than their first half performance. He quoted, "The first half we might have been, I don't want to say overconfident, but maybe we weren't quite as focused as we needed to be," coach said. "Maybe it's because our second game, but the second half we started to gel a little bit and focus a little bit more. Overall, I'm pleased." Grant Clifford found the net 3 more times in the second half and led the Ducks in scoring with 9 points for the second straight game. He was a finalist last week in the MCLA Division I Commanding Performance of the Week, powered by Under Armour, and he was actually the player that I pulled out of the honorable mentions to say, oh, he could have been that one player that took home the actual award based on his performance against Dominican University over Nego, the goalie from University of Arizona. Again, no disrespect to Nego. We went over this last week. It's a small recap, but I felt like Clifford did have that outstanding performance last week, and I give that man credit where credit is due. Again, he's doing it again this week. Let's see where he ranks, if he gets ranks again this week on Under Armour's weekly awards. The article continues to say the stifling Ducks defense was led by junior defenders Eric Reister and Hayden Hogan, who kept Chico's offense at bay. Freshman goalie Sam Snyder had another strong showing at goal, posting 8 saves and allowing only 1 goal in the second half. So right now, I mean, the coaches are happy at Oregon. Just goes on to say how, you know, they expect their guys to come out here, work hard, and then it concludes by saying the Ducks will host Idaho February 26th. So I feel like, you know, Oregon's got that, that they've got that game right now. It's happening for them. I think it's cool to talk about the bigger name schools. I mean, everyone likes it. I mean, how can you not? Big name schools, that's what keeps everyone going. But I'm going to talk about a smaller team right now, actually a Division II team, Southern Oregon. Now, for the second straight weekend, Southern Oregon traveled south for a pair of games in California, keeping the perfect season alive. The Raiders defeated University of San Francisco 15-1 and edged out a UC Santa Cruz victory in double overtime 9-8. On a sunny Saturday afternoon in the heart of San Francisco, the Raiders faced the Dons for the first time in program history. The Raiders began the weekend on the right note, scoring a season-high 15 goals en route to their fourth consecutive victory. 9 different Raiders scored in Saturday's contests. Then on Sunday, the Raiders faced UC Santa Cruz, who were fresh off a 14-3 victory over University of the Pacific the previous day. The game began quietly as Ian Wilborn was a lone player to find the back of the net in the first quarter. The Banana Slugs had two man up opportunities, but the stout Southern man down unit produced as they have all season long, successfully killing both penalties. Now, speaking as a defenseman myself, I can honestly say that man down is not something easy. Obviously, there's a lot more work out of your defenders. It puts more stress on the goalie. So the fact that Southern Oregon was able twice to negate a man down situation for their team, obviously having their team at a disadvantage, you know, I give them that credit because that's not an easy task to do. I would know any defenders out there listening, any goalies out there, they know where I'm coming from. The Banana Slugs were able to get one board in between the Raiders' two goals, setting the low scoring affair to 3-1 at halftime in favor of the Raiders. Now, throughout the third quarter, the Raiders came out leading 4-1. The score was 4-4 towards the end. At the end of the third, before proceeding to the fourth quarter, the Raiders had a 5-4 lead. At the start of the fourth, Mungin of the Southern Oregon picked up the loose ball in the crease and finished, giving the Raiders a 2-goal advantage. Now, down the stretch, UC Santa Cruz was able to tie the game. They would take the lead in the game 8-7 before Southern Oregon was able to tie it 8-8 with 30 seconds left. Now, within those 30 seconds, each team was able to get a good look at the goal. Each team has some sort of possession, but obviously in that 30-second time frame, your mentality is not always there, and neither was able to score. This was the first overtime win for Southern Oregon since 2012. They were able to pull off the 9-8 victory. And in 2012, they were able to defeat Humboldt State 9-10 in Arcata, and is the only second double overtime game in program history. Mungin led all Raiders with 5 points, 3 goals, 2 assists on the day, while Feldman secured his second hat trick of the weekend. The goalie Kelly saved a career high 20 shots and currently has a 71 save percentage, bringing his season percentage to 72 overall. It was a great job by the Southern Oregon Raiders, and right now I can see in the polls they aren't a ranked team as of yet. They're on their way to a 6-0 start, and I feel like that's a team to look out for as well, coming from Oregon, that just needs to be brought up in today's segment, just because you've got these teams going undefeated, and yet they're still not ranked, but you've got these Division II teams climbing and inching to have their name up there. And a lot of these teams, not big-name universities, not big-name colleges, again, the biggest name I recognize on the top 25 Division II teams would be Dayton, Fullerton, and San Diego. Other than that, I don't see any big name universities, which means, you know, all these teams want a shot at having their name out there and being a top 25 team, which is extremely respectable. On to our next segment, Journey to the MCLA. We have a big treat for all of you tonight, as I will be bringing on a midfielder from Dominican University's own lacrosse team, Harrison Ray. Harrison, tell us about your journey to the MCLA.
Hey, how's it going, Brett?
It's going good, man. Thanks for asking.
I want to say thanks for having me on the show.
Of course, man. Honestly, it's a pleasure. I'm glad you did it. I'm glad I've got a very experienced lacrosse player here with me, and I can't wait to see how this goes. First off, I want to start by saying, you know, tell us a little bit about how you started getting into lacrosse, that high school experience, the recruiting experience, and why you chose to be a part of an MCLA program.
Yeah, sure. So it all started probably, I don't know, first, second grade. I knew I wanted to play sports all throughout my life, and somewhat in college. I just didn't know what sport. And, you know, growing up, I was pretty good at football, pretty good at baseball, just, you know, any sport I really picked up. But year after year, I kept having a problem with baseball. It was a little too political where I'm from.
Oh, it's political everywhere.
Yeah, really. and a kid I played football with, his dad had a lacrosse team the following year, and I was in fifth grade. And he asked me to come out to the team. I said, sure, why not? So came out, and, you know, I didn't really do well my very first year. You know, sat on the bench most of my time. And, you know, he told me, you know, stick with it, man. You're going to do good. You're going to do well. Just stick with it. And I said, all right. came out the following year, and I think I was one of the top three scorers in the league.
That's
so
awesome.
You know,
it was
a great.
Love to hear it.
Yeah, it was definitely big jump in my skill level in lacrosse, and so I stuck with it and started playing club, and so just kept sticking with it. And my high school experience, freshman year, I was a bubble, played JV and varsity. Didn't really know, like, if I wanted to play football or if I wanted to wrestle or, you know, play lacrosse in college until I was, like, really locked in going into my sophomore year. I knew I wanted to play college lacrosse.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, so I talked to one of my buddies about the recruiting process and just learned a lot, learned as much as I could. Started reaching out to schools and coaches, and I knew I wanted to go back to California because, you know, I was born in Santa Cruz. And Dominican really fit the bill. It was in the Bay Area, nice area. It's beautiful. Dominican's great school, great team. But back to my high school experience. I was a JV my freshman year, some varsity, and then my sophomore year I was actually elected captain.
Right on.
Yeah, so that was a pretty cool experience. Great, learned a lot. And then my junior and senior year I was also a captain. I started out as a defensive middie my sophomore year.
Right on.
And then just worked my way more towards the offensive side of the ball.
I love to hear it, man. Now, during this whole process, I'm sure this was mostly throughout your end of junior, beginning of senior year, were you looking at other schools, or did you have your heart set on going to a Bay Area school such as Dominican?
I looked at a couple other schools. I thought about Notre Dame, Dana Muir, which is in Belmont. Just because they were D2, and I heard about them through other teammates. And so originally when I came out here for my recruiting visit, I had NDNU as number one and Dominican as number two.
Oh, jeez, okay.
Yeah, so I finally visited schools and figured out that Dominican was the better fit. But my third choice was Beloit College, and that's in Wisconsin.
Really, is that NCAA Division III?
Division III.
I personally know that coming out of high school, that having that NCAA title on your name is definitely enticing. As a former, I definitely wanted that name. That I was willing to go across the country to the East Coast just to have it. But MCLA, as you know, is definitely more than just a quote unquote club team, which is why teams still recruit from the MCLA.
Yeah,
I'm glad that we have a guy like you on here that could talk about hey, I was recruited. I talked to more than one NCAA school, and yet still chose to come to the MCLA program, which is, I think, giving more credibility for the MCLA as a whole. It's great to hear right now, actually. I know that sports, more schools are doing it, more schools are recruiting, because right now MCLA is becoming more and more competitive every season. And that's great. Obviously, in a perfect world, it would just be like college football or any of the college sport, really.
Yeah, seriously.
Everyone's got their division. Everyone's all NCAA. Everyone's got their divisions, because it's not like, a lot of these MCLA teams couldn't hang with some NCAA Division II, III, and I mean, I wouldn't say that our best MCLA Division I teams couldn't hang with some NCAA Division I teams. I'm not talking about your top tier teams, your Syracuse, your Dukes, but there's definitely some teams NCAA Division I that I think could have a fight with them against some of these top notch MCLA teams. I wouldn't put it past any of them. I know that there are some players who've been recruited by smaller tier Division I teams who have chosen to stay West Coast or stay more local to their home and play at the MCLA program.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I really appreciate telling us your story, Harrison. We're going to take a quick timeout, quick fiver. When we return, talking about the up-and-coming Boise State University lacrosse team.
One, two, three, four. just not right now. Dreaming of the coast of Carolina. Dreaming of the ways that you will smile. Calm down, come quickly. Look at the lights in the big city.
Hello, and we are back. You are once again on the field with Captain Quality on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. As I like to say, we are a time in from the time out. A little corny, I know, but I like it. So again, right now we're talking about Boise State University and their up-and-coming MCLA lacrosse team, who has just made headlines this week, and they're just the team on everyone's mind right now. Again, for those of you just turning in, Boise State has moved up 8 spots in the ranking and up to 19 from previously not being ranked at all, which I feel like is definitely a topic we can talk about. You know, it's a team where definitely had no recognition a lot in the lacrosse spectrum in MCLA, not necessarily a ranked team year after year, and an 8 spot jump is a big deal regardless of what sport you play, and especially at a collegiate level. So I'm taking a look at them right now. I see a lot of recognizable players. I know a few of the guys. Speaking with Harrison, who himself is an Idaho native, was able to tell me some interesting facts about some of the players. He says that Boise State's team is led by senior LSM Willie Matten from Eagle High School. He says Willie Matten was the first All-American lacrosse player to come out of Idaho and is definitely a key contributor to the Boise State team. Harrison was also formerly coached by John Mundy, who was the head coach of Boise State. Definitely a lot of obviously a lot of Idaho names in there, being a Boise State team. But it's nice to have a guy on the inside like Harrison to tell me, you know, what's going on. These guys are top-notch players, and Harrison playing ball in Idaho, his high school ball, living most of his life in Idaho. Definitely agrees with the spectrum and saying, well, you look like this team is not a team to you know, disregard. This is a team that to play. He says, he quoted, I played with a lot of these guys in high school and club ball as well as travel and all-star teams. They have definitely accumulated a high amount of talent and a very, you know, successful roster. He said, I knew from the beginning of the season that this was a team that would make headlines. Now, I wish I had known that because I could have brought him on as a, to talk about potential sleeper teams, that teams that people wouldn't be looking out for. I could have said, you know, he said it first, but, I mean, from what he tells me, he said that Boise State would be the team to beat this year and it'd be an uprising team. Maybe not necessarily a team to beat, but They could. And you never know. They're on a good little run right now, a 3-1 overall record. And this is our early season, still being in full swing. And he can vouch for all these guys. I trust his opinion. He's a talented lacrosse player. He says, you know, the boys at Eagle, Idaho, a lot of these Boise State guys, a lot of your Idaho natives are top-notch lacrosse players, and Boise State definitely has accumulated a lot of them. Of course, you had a few players, you know, from your Californias and a couple from Washington, but primarily an Idaho Central team, as most, you know, state teams are, would have the most teams from that, most players from that state. I think it says a lot about, you know, talent in the state like Idaho. No disrespect to Idaho at all, but it's definitely not. I mean, the only thing I think about when I think of Idaho is, you know, kind of like potatoes and stuff. Like, no offense to Idaho again. I mean, great state, I guess. But, I mean, I knew Boise State was a big-name school. If you follow any big college sports, you know, college football, Boise State, they got the blue turf. You know, it's cool. Everyone knows it. But I definitely never thought of them as a lacrosse school. Even when I met Harrison, I was like, wow, this kid's from Idaho. It's, you know, I wonder how good this player is. You know, Idaho, I always looked at it as like a smaller state. I'm pretty sure it is, population-wise. I kind of viewed it as like a farm state. But definitely, they've got some athletes out there, and it shows right now with this Boise State team. And for those of you who haven't been paying attention to Dominican lacrosse, Harrison does have a substantial amount of stats from this season, racking up a goal in each of our official games this year, as well as an assist as the first middie off the bench. He's definitely made a big name for himself, and only a freshman at that. So he's definitely looking to be a contributing factor to Dominican, and we're glad to have him, the Idaho native. And he's probably the first of many right now, as our coach was formerly the coach at University of Idaho. I'm sure he definitely has some connections back in Idaho, and I definitely would love to see some more of the Idaho talent come out here based off what I'm looking at on this Boise State roster. Now, going back to Boise State, what can we expect for them? Well, after beating Simon Fraser and suffering a 3-goal loss to BYU. And keep in mind, folks, that BYU right now is the 5 seed. I'm sorry, they are ranked 5th right now out of all of MCLA Division 1. 5th. And Boise State was able to, you know, keep hold their own with them. They lost by 3 goals. I mean, that should speak a lot right there. A 3-goal loss to a top 5 team. Excuse me, speaks a lot to your program. And how you know, that's on the positive swing. I mean, definitely. They had their first game was a 19-4 victory over University of Nevada. Their second game was a 24-6 victory against University of Montana. So no disrespect to those two schools, but obviously BYU and Simon Fraser are of a more higher tier quality and more of a challenge for a, you know, Boise State team, and showed with the scores being much closer. A 2-goal win over Simon Fraser and the 3-goal loss against BYU. Coming up, they do have a game against Colorado State, who's always a tough team, as well as, actually looking down at the rest of their slate, they've got a very tough schedule just throughout the rest of the season. They have games against Utah Valley, University of Oregon, University of Arizona, Colorado, and Grand Canyon University. I definitely feel like Coach John Mundy knew he had something special on his team this year, because he gave his team quite the slate to play against. And right now, their conference games none of those teams I just listed were conference games at all. These are teams that coach decided he wanted to play. He said, he definitely must have said he wanted to play against these top-notch teams and prove that he had the program to beat this year. And I mean, I can't wait to see how these games pan out. Got a long ways to go, though, before a few of those games. You know, University of Colorado is not until Sunday, March 6th. And from there on out, it's top-notch. It's top-ranked teams. They're all ranked programs. A few in the top 10. You got your Grand Canyons, your Colorados, and it's the University of Arizona, University of Oregon, 24th, also on the up and up. So, I mean, I'm anxious to see how this turns out for Boise State. Again, I have no Boise State bias at all. I wouldn't consider myself a Boise State fan in any sport, any level whatsoever, but I'm a fan of teams that, you know, I don't want to call them underdogs necessarily, but in a way they kind of are, because they came in here, they came to the year not ranked at all. I'm sure that, I mean, no one really expected much out of them. When you talk about, hey, like, who's going to be the tough competition this year in MCLA Division I, I doubt anyone really mentioned Boise State. And right now they're a team that everyone kind of slept on. They're the team that's looking to make a name for themselves. They have a tough slate on their schedule ahead of them. And I've seen very few teams that are going to go up again, going to make a slate quite like theirs, with Grand Canyon, University of Arizona, Colorado, Colorado State, Oregon State, a conference game, which is one they must play. Obviously, they play every year, but then Utah Valley as well. None of those easy games. And should Boise State, you know, pull out a couple wins from a few of those games, if not all of them, they would definitely be considered a team to beat this year and a possible team to look out for in the national tournament this year. Because, I mean, these are the teams that, you know, come thrive and compete in the national tournament. Obviously, Grand Canyon winning it all last year. So, Boise State on the up and up. Gone up 8 spots in the rankings. Before that, our next rankings come out, they will have multiple games against Utah. They'll have games against Utah State, University of Washington, and a Colorado State game. So, should they win out in those 3 games, I'm anxious to see how far they would move up in the polls and maybe crack their way into the top 15 or possibly in the top 10. I doubt they'll have another big 8 game, 8 spot ranking like they just did this past week. But, I mean, I can't see why they couldn't crack top 15 and take out, you know, a Michigan State or a Sonoma State or a Boston College. Maybe, you don't, you know, maybe a Texas State. You're just going to get above on these teams right now, get a little edge on these teams, because I doubt any of those teams have quite the schedule that Boise State has made for themselves. And you have to give those guys a lot of credit. They want to play this year. They're out here. I'd like to see what happens. Now, before I go on to our next segment, I'd like to talk about some breaking news I've just learned. The Dominican lacrosse program has a new commit. He's a senior at Palos Verdes High School, Kevin Porter. He has just verbally committed to continue his education and play lacrosse for Dominican University. And it goes on to talk about Kevin. And this is a big deal for us, as we are in our rebuilding season. We're looking always to add new and young talent to our program. And for those of you who don't know, Dominican University did have their 2016 recruitment combine this past weekend, where 16 to 20 recruits from various spots of California and a couple outside states, such as Utah, Idaho, Oregon, you know, students and student athletes from all those different states and areas came to Dominican to prove that they had the ability to play at the college level, and did some team stuff with us, got to hang out with some of the players, come watch a Stanford game. And I'm glad that we have one that already committed. It's a big deal. I'm going to go read on a little bit more about Kevin Porter. Kevin is a very talented offensive and defensive midfielder who will bring a lot to the Penguins as we continue to build our talented 2020 class. Kevin will help build our defensive midfield unit using his speed and strength. He is also a threat on the offensive side of the ball and has a great stick and a great shot. When asked about Kevin Porter, Coach Samuel Vogel-Seidenberg stated, "We are very excited to have a very talented, fast, and smart two-way midfielder in Kevin Porter to join the Penguins for the 2016-2017 season. He has been an integral part of the growing success of the lacrosse program for Palos Verdes. He is quick, strong, has a great shot, and is very passionate about the game, is the hardest-working guy on the field. We feel that he will fit right into our defensive and offensive systems and to the new mentality of the team. Kevin, as on behalf of myself and the rest of the Dominican lacrosse program, welcome to the Penguins. Please stay tuned in the future for Kevin's national signing day along with the rest of Dominican's commits." That was Kevin Porter of Palos Verdes High School. And give a little shout out for Palos Verdes, a SoCal team. You know, I mean, I got a little bias there, obviously being from SoCal. I'm glad to see more SoCal guys coming up here to the Northern California, to the Bay Area. I love it. I'm sure Kev's going to love it. And just keep posted on more recruits and more commits coming. Always love to hear about them, especially the ones that come from Southern California. Now, our next segment I want to talk about the upset of the week. Now, I couldn't find a super big upset like I did last week with Grand Canyon's loss and all. What game I really felt that stood out to me was the Cal Poly San Luis Obispo game against Arizona State University. For those of you who don't know, Cal Poly has moved up in the rankings a spot ahead of Arizona State to 6, while Arizona moved from 3 to 7. Now, Cal Poly Slow was able to beat Arizona State University 5-4 at ASU. A very tight, low-scoring game. I'm sure it was a heavy defensive game. Ended up being a Cal Poly victory. I think it's that looking at that game, that has to be one of the bigger regular season victories in their program in recent years. Arizona State is year after year a top-notch, top-quality team, and when a team like Cal Poly, who again is also a top-notch team, always highly ranked, but is able to beat an Arizona State, I think it's always a big deal. Again, they weren't too far away in the rankings at all. You know, Cal Poly SLO had that ranking spot last week at 7, ASU was at 3. Only a slight difference, honestly. I can't call it that big of an upset. But it's an upset. I mean, it's an upset nonetheless against a team that I'm sure Arizona State didn't come into that game expecting to lose at all. There's no way. I mean, obviously not many teams come into a game expecting to lose, and no one wants to lose coming into a game, but ASU, always a dominant force, obviously is always almost securing a top 5 spot in MCLA, suffered that loss to Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, and now has lost their ranking spot to them, as Cal Poly is 6, while Arizona State is now 7, followed by U of A at 8, and Grand Canyon University at 9. So all of Arizona schools right now, despite losing a couple of games, are still in that top 10 range, which says a lot about them, like I touched up last week on. I said, I never saw too much, you know, again, it's like the same thing with the Idaho situation. I never really saw Arizona as a big school, with big lacrosse school. I'd played a couple of schools in Arizona in high school and travel teams. And I knew there's some good players there, but you never expect to have the three big-name Arizona schools all having top-notch lacrosse programs. And the Grand, again, I reiterate that Grand Canyon did win the MCLA Division I National Tournament last year. So, big deal. All three of them maybe off to rockier starts than they expected. All still top-notch teams, top 10 teams. Are still looking to make runs in the national tournament this year and make the national tournament. So, I'd put that there as our... as our upset of the week. I think it's a good game to talk about. Cal Poly being a top-notch team. Same with Arizona State. And it's always fun to see these big-name schools, you know, go head-to-head and just battle it out, duke it out. And you know, this one just happened to be a victory for Cal Poly. Now, speaking about Cal Poly, they are a WCLL team, you know, very relevant to Dominican, as we will play them later on this year on March 24th to be exact. They ended up playing Grand Canyon University at Grand Canyon University and lost by one goal. They lost 9-10, which I think is worth noting. It's worth talking about because, you know, Grand Canyon, yeah, again, they're the reigning champs of MCLA Division I. Have only played these two games this season, with the big upset obviously being from Utah Valley University and coming out against this Cal Poly game. Last week I had said I want to keep an eye on the Cal Poly game because that would be their test. You know, will they come out here and roll over Cal Poly and prove that they're still the team to beat and they're still a force to be reckoned with? Obviously, they still are, but again, not even in the top 5 anymore when they were coming to season number 1 and the reigning champs of the MCLA Division I. They beat a tough Cal Poly team by only a goal. Now, does that say more? Now, you have to say it, think to yourself, does that say more about Cal Poly or does that say more about Grand Canyon? You know, one could argue, you know, Cal Poly is also on the up and up this year, obviously beating Arizona State. They wanted to prove that they could do more. Only suffered a one-goal loss to a good team like Grand Canyon, who is still ranked below Cal Poly and Arizona State, actually, despite beating Cal Poly. Grand Canyon is still ranked number 9, while Arizona is 7 and Cal Poly is 6. So I feel like over the rankings, they're actually saying, you know, Grand Canyon may not be that team anymore. Even though I'm sure it's upsetting knowing they beat Cal Poly by that one goal, but and they're still ranked below them. But it must mean that, you know, MCLA believes that Cal Poly is a better team in general, despite having that one goal loss. They've proven themselves more. I'm sure again, no one expected Grand Canyon to lose that Utah Valley University game. And with a 10-9 game, I mean that could go either way. No, not having watched the game, I can't tell you. You know, I can't give you a play by play. You know, exact. You know what happened exactly throughout the game. I could tell you that Grand Canyon had a 5-1 lead going into halftime, and Cal Poly had a big third quarter burst, a 5-1 third quarter burst, and the fourth quarter was tied 3-3, which forced the overtime situation where Grand Canyon did win it in overtime. I'm looking at it right now, so there's something new that I didn't know. Grand Canyon won that game in overtime. So Cal Poly definitely gave them a run for their money, and this is just one of the situations where that game could have easily and obviously could have gone either way. That's actually a big deal to me. I feel like Cal Poly is definitely a team to be reckoned with. They could have easily won that game. I could be sitting here right now saying, hey, Grand Canyon's lost two in a row. You know, the reigning champ's been, you know, upset twice. And this, would be our upset of the week game, even though Cal Poly would have been ranked higher. But Grand Canyon was the reigning champ. And, you know, they've scraped one out. And I'll give them that credit. They did scrape one out. And their next test will be against the University of Colorado on Friday, February 26th, in 2 days. So that's right now going to be their test game. It's also going to be University of Colorado's first game. And you have to expect University of Colorado to be coming out of the guns, ready for a victory, wanting redemption from their one-goal loss in last year's national championship game to Grand Canyon University. Now, going off of that, it's good stuff to talk about. You know, Grand Canyon, you know, making, it's kind of slipping here this season. Obviously, you know, they could come back and pull it off and just say, hey, we had a rocky start. But they definitely didn't give themselves the easiest slate ever with games against San Diego State, University of Arizona, Arizona State. These are all conference games. They're in a very competitive conference, needless to say. So right now they've got an assortment of non-conference games, Colorado State, Colorado, Boston College, always a good team, ranked 13th. And, you know, yet again, Boise State. So, I don't know, you tell me. I mean, Boise State, again, I've been talking about them forever. I'm sure everyone's sick about it. But they could come out here and be that team to beat. And, I mean, that's kind of the game I want to see, because I want to see Boise State and see how well they climb up the ladder right now. Will they be a team to beat this year? And if they can pull off some victories, especially against Grand Canyon, I think it'll just go to show that Boise State is on the up and up and Grand Canyon may be on the downswing. But it's still early to see if Grand Canyon is able to hold their own, and maybe not even hold their own, but still beat University of Colorado. They're right back in this league, obviously. They can't count them out yet. They're still ranked 9th. They only had that one loss upset and a one-goal victory against Cal Poly. Yeah, it's, you know, the one-goal victory overtime. But still, not, you can't count out a team like Grand Canyon, who are reigning champs and are just a good quality team overall. So I'm definitely to two teams I'm going to keep my eye on, some games I definitely want to keep my eye on, and just continue to talk about. We definitely can have some stuff to talk about next week about those games. Now, our next segment, I want to discuss some weekly awards, actually. Just give these players some credit where credit is due. Now, last week we discussed some weekly awards, and University of Arizona's goalie was able to take away the weekly award by Under Armour with his outstanding performance and helping University of Arizona, at the time, maintain an undefeated record. Now, right now, University of Arizona is currently still undefeated with a 3-0 record after shutting out University of Utah, but then again, that was where they left off last week. They have yet to play since Sunday, February 14th against Utah, down at UCLA as part of that Pac-12 shootout, where their next game will be this Friday, February 26th against Colorado State. And I'm anxious to see if Arizona can keep up that undefeated record they've got. You know, they've got some quality wins, you know, against Utah Valley. They beat University of California, Berkeley, 9-3, and shut out University of Utah. So they've got Colorado State, Colorado, Boston College, and Westminster, who is now an NCAA Division II team. All four of those top-notch teams, and if Arizona is able to keep up that undefeated streak, I couldn't imagine them not seeing them climb up in the rankings and become a top three, top one team. I mean, obviously, they beat Colorado, taking over the top-notch spot. They've been defeated. But Arizona right now on the watch, on the up and up right now, undefeated still this season. Congrats to them. And they're due in part to their outstanding goalie, Nago, who was last week's Under Armour MCLA Division I Player of the Week and had a performance of the week. So right now I want to talk about this week's MCLA Division I Performance of the Week. After sparking number 6 Georgia Tech to a pair of comfortable victories over top 20 programs, junior attackman Brian Connolly has earned the commanding performance of the week powered by Under Armour for the period ending in February 21st. On Friday evening, Connolly netted a hat trick and dished out 5 assists as the Yellow Jackets raced out to a 13-1 lead over number 12 Boston College, eventually coasting to an 18-5 victory. 2 days later, Conley scored a pair of goals and set up four others as the Ramblin' Wreck surged past number 16, Liberty, 15-7. Now I'm going to take a look at this Brian Connolly really quick. Because I mean, those are some outstanding numbers, to say the least. I can see why, as of right now I'm looking at it, he did deserve that Player of the Week award. And see that I can see the Georgia Tech team right now is on up and up. A good team to force be reckoned with. And it's just a good thing. I mean, right now, Georgia Tech, I wouldn't say, is a top rank. Right now, they're not even on the top 25, despite having this top-notch Player of the Week. But I'm surprised I don't see them on a higher... I'm sorry, I totally missed that. They're ranked number 4. How embarrassing. Had that paper covering it up. Georgia Tech's number 4, as of right now, moves up 2 spots to number 6. For those of you listening out there, that was a classic dumb moment. But who cares? You know, it happens. You know, papers cover stuff up. Polls get misplaced. It's whatever. Georgia Tech right now, number 4. It's one of those teams, I guess, just got to keep your eye on right now. Number 4 team, Georgia Tech. Previously, number 6. After moving up 2 spots, we're able to take down 2 top-notch teams. And a coach for Georgia Tech said, "Our reputation is based on our offense, but Brian showed we aren't just a one-trick pony." That's from coach of Georgia Tech, Kevin Lubick. "He's a premium playmaker who drives our offense. He had a great weekend, and we'll need that continuing throughout the spring." I'm going to take a look at Georgia Tech's slate right now and see, you know, what do they have right now? Their first victory was against Vanderbilt, 21-2, and as you know, they beat Boston College and Liberty University by a large amount of goals. They have games against top teams such as Virginia Tech, Michigan State, University of Georgia, and University of Mississippi. Now, obviously, I wouldn't say it's a great slate. I mean, I don't know too much about your more Midwestern teams and whatnot, but not all of them are ranking top 25 at all. But you have to give that credit to Georgia Tech. They're still a top 5 team. They're still killing it, beating top-notch teams, and definitely not giving... I wouldn't say they're giving themselves an easy slate, because they're definitely not. They've got competitive games all throughout the MCLA, and this speaks for it by their rankings. So I have to give that credit to Brian Connolly there, as he looks to continue his great performance throughout the rest of the season. Going off that, Connolly will receive a new Under Armour Command head. Again, Under Armour is a proud sponsor of the MCLA. Now, of course, this is my favorite part right now, is the Under Armour Honorable Mention Rule, where we talk about players who didn't quite make the demanding performance, but still had great weekly performances, so we give them that recognition. I'm going to start off with Wes Greeson Jr. of Chapman. The attackman started the weekend with 4 goals and 3 assists against number 14 Sonoma before cashing in a goal and 2 assists against number 24 Cal. I give you those great numbers. Congratulations, Wes Greeson, for be making the Under Armour Honorable Mention Rule this week. Next up is Dimitri Isunis, a senior from South Carolina. South Carolina faced number 18 Florida State on Saturday. Isunis made 21 saves and posted a 61.8 save percentage to help the Gamecocks hold on for a 15-13 victory. Anytime you can go into a ranked team's house and go and... as a goalie especially, it's not an easy task. You know, I can't speak on behalf of goalies as a defender myself. But I can't imagine a goalie's task being easy. Went up against a ranked team, a good top-notch team like Florida State. And making 21 saves, which, for those of you who don't know, is a very big deal, along with a 61.8 save percentage, outstanding. And, you know, helping contribute to his team with a 15-13 victory. Congratulations, Dimitri, for making the Under Armour Honorable Mention Roll. Next up is freshman Rob Peters of Florida. The Gators tripped up the South Carolina team ranked higher than Florida in the SELC polls thanks to 5 goals and 2 assists from Peters. University of Florida is now 2-0 on the season. And I'm looking at that right now in the polls. Yeah, University of Florida has definitely gone up. They're not quite at that ranked area yet, but they are definitely a team that's itching to make their way up. I can check right now, University of Florida, receiving a few votes, you know, trying to get up to that ranked spot. They're definitely not counted out at all, but plenty of teams ahead of them. But anytime you're able to take on a ranked program and beat them, or a high top-notch program and still beat them, such as South Carolina, who we just talked about with their star goal or their star goalie, is a big deal. So congratulations to Dimitri. Right now we've got to Rob Peters and to Rob Peters. Our second to last honorable mention player is Sean Peel, a junior from Cal Poly. Now I'm sure we all know about by now about Cal Poly and what they were able to do this past week and what they're almost able to do. The Mustangs nearly pulled off an impressive desert sweep, and Peel did his part. He made 16 saves in a 5-4 win over number 3 Arizona State before stopping 17 more in a triple overtime loss to number 9 Grand Canyon. That was a triple overtime loss to number 9 Grand Canyon. Of course, you know, on my resources, they only show the one OT slot, so that looked like a one overtime loss to me. That was a triple overtime loss, a correction, to number 9 Grand Canyon. That just speaks a lot. Great job, Sean Peel. I mean, as a goalie, that's never easy. Obviously, as the rest of your teammates are, everyone's tired about a triple overtime loss. But mentally, as a goalie, you know, when your team is just going, you know, spot after spot, I mean, they're triple overtime. That pressure is just insane on the goalie. And he was able to help his team with a number 3, being number 3 Arizona State. And they suffered a tough loss to Grand Canyon. But Cal Poly still holds up top, the number 6 spot in the rankings. And I'm sure it's due in part to junior Sean Peel. So congratulations, Sean, on making this week's Under Armour honorable mention performance of the week. Now, this last Division I honorable player, I kind of saved for last. He was first on the list to talk about. But the reason I saved him last is because his name is Alex Dixon, a freshman from University of California, Santa Barbara. Now, I don't have any bias towards Alex. I was a former club teammate of him and played against him for 3 years in high school, as he's a year younger than myself. Let me just tell you this. Alex is a high school All-American and chose to attend an MCLA program rather than go out and play in the NCAA level so he could stay more local. He's from Crespi Carmelite High School in Encino, California, in SoCal. So a little shout-out there for myself. But Alex Dixon's a force to be reckoned with, and it's going to show right now as I read this next to you. The Gauchos beat number 23, UNLV, 19-14, and they needed all of 10 of Dixon's goals to pull it off. That's correct, 10 goals. Now, according to the article, he had 11, but going back to the stats, he did have 10 goals, which is incredible to say the least. 10 goals out of his team's 19, over half. And it's not like it was some sort of blowout game where it's like, oh, you know, we had 10 goals against a trash team. And then, you know, we beat them by 20 goals anyway. It didn't matter. You know, it was a 24-1 victory. No, it was a 19-14 victory. A 5-goal differential is not humongous in lacrosse. You can't consider that game a blowout at all. It's definitely not a blowout. So I'm not being biased at all. I don't consider myself being really buddies with this guy. I don't talk to him a lot. I just know he's a former teammate and is actually a rival against my high school, as he does hold his high school's single-game scoring record of 11 goals in one game against my former high school. So, again, I have no bias towards this guy. If anything, it should be a negative bias. But, yeah, I mean, real recognizes real, and you see a real player right here with Alex Dixon, the freshman from UC Santa Barbara. And, honestly, if I had to replace Connolly with the top command performance of the week, I would have to give it to Alex Dixon. I mean, 10 goals. He's got 15 on the season. He's averaging 5 a game. It's just very unheard of, and Santa Barbara's a top competitive team, climbing their way up in the rankings. So congratulations, Alex, for making Under Armour Honor Roll. If it was up to me, you would be having the performance of the week, or at the very least, sharing it with Brian Connolly. Now again, for those of you and few fans of the MCLA Division II, I didn't forget about them. I'm going to start off by saying Minnesota Duluth made a powerful first statement at MCLA Division II, like I stated earlier, moving up 9 spots in the rankings. And it was helped led by senior defenseman Sam Harris, who was quote-unquote the backbone of the Bulldogs' 11-7 victory over number 5 St. John's on Saturday. For his efforts, he earned the commanding performance of the week, powered by Under Armour, for the period ending February 21st. Congratulations, Sam. Harris was tasked with matching up against Johnny's junior, Brooks Armitage, a first-team All-American on attack last spring, and the Maple Grove, Minnesota. product held Armitage without a point for the first time in St. John's star had been playing in his career. So, as a defender, I know it's never easy to make, you know, have a big stat line. Obviously, what you do is not exactly stats for it. Yeah, you can get some ground balls here and there, but they don't really necessarily keep track of takeaways, you know, good poke checks, you know, de-sticking someone. And, you know, unless you score a goal or get an assist, it's not really, you don't really have a lot to show in the stat sheet. But it's exciting to see a defender that is able to make a big deal. He's able to claim this performance of the week despite having that, you know, need for a stat line. But I think right now, looking at the other player's stat line, being able to shut down a top-notch All-American attackman and hold him to zero goals for the first time in that player's career is a humongous deal. I can see why he got that performance of the week. And along with stopping one of the best attackmen in the country, he had 5 ground balls in the win over St. John's and caused 4 turnovers. So I'm glad to see that. And then with limited action on Sunday, the 33-1 victory over North Dakota, he had 3 more caused turnovers. So coach of Minnesota Duluth said, "Sam led by pure example from the start of our game to the finish." That was from coach Sam Litton. Sam set the tone for us from the get-go, stripping the ball from Armitage on the first St. John's possessions of the game, picking up the ground ball and clearing it to the offensive zone. That right there, I mean, he's one of, that's just textbook setting the tone for the team, saying, "Hey, I'm here to play. You go out there, you take the ball away from the other team's best player, from one of the country's best offensive players, and you're able to take the ball away and clear it." That goes out there to say, "Hey, look, I'm out here. Don't sleep on me. I'm a player. I'm my own force to be reckoned with, and you should be worried about me." So congratulations to Sam Harris, who is this week's Under Armour Division II Performer of the Week. Now I'm going to talk about our Under Armour Honorable Players for Division II before we wrap up. Christopher Briner, a sophomore from Columbus State. Undefeated Missouri State. It says here, undefeated Missouri State was on the cusp of a national ranking, but Briner made 20 saves in a 7-5 win for the Cougars of Columbus State. I think that's worded very funny just because it talks about how Missouri State was really trying to climb up the rankings and Columbus State just said, "Nope, sorry," and just shut him down. Congrats to Christopher for making the Under Armour Honor Roll Performers of the Week. Next up is Cody Clark, a senior from Kennesaw. Division 1 West Virginia visited the Kennesaw Owls on Friday night and Clark proved to be a rude host, scoring 7 goals and setting up 3 others. That right there just speaks a lot because he was able to score 7 goals on a very, you know, talented West Virginia Division 1 team and having 3 assists. So that's 10 points total. In any game, that's a big deal. I don't care who you're playing against. You have 10 points with 7 goals. That's a humongous deal. Congrats to Cody Clark for winning this, for being one of this week's Players of the Week Honor Roll for MCLA Division 2. Quinn Coyle, a junior from St. Ambrose, as well as St. Ambrose, played Division 1 Iowa and pulled off the upset thanks to 2 goals and 2 dimes from Coyle. So congrats to Coyle. I always like to see a Division 2 being Division 1 upset. St. Ambrose, congrats to the team as a whole for upsetting Iowa, and it's led by Quinn Coyle, the junior. So congratulations to Quinn for being one of this week's MCLA Division 2 Honorable Performers. Next up, second to last, we have Kyle Gilbert, the sophomore from Georgia Southern University. Says the Eagles swept a doubleheader on Saturday against previously undefeated Louisiana Lafayette, 11-10, and St. Louis, 15-6, while Gilbert finished with 9 goals and a dime to give himself 10 points, but 9 of those being goals. Congrats to Kyle Gilbert. Almost a Dixon-esque performance, not quite though. But the sophomore, still young, Georgia Southern. I'm anxious to see how that turns out. But congrats to Kyle for winning, for being one of our top-notch performers, an Under Armour Performer of the Week for MCLA Division II. Last but certainly not least is Spencer Masick, a senior from Siena Heights. Again, above this, faced Division I Central Michigan in the season opener. Masick notched a hat trick along with 2 other assists as the Saints rolled 15-5. Wow, does that speak as an upset for Central Michigan? For Siena Heights? I want to check that out right now, actually, because the way it's worded, it says the Saints rolled, but does that mean rolled over, or is that more of a, like, they rolled to a victory over a Division I team? So I'm going to see that right now. It's Siena Heights University. And yes, as a matter of fact, they did beat Central Michigan 15-5. Wow, I love seeing that. I love seeing the Division II being Division I upset. Congratulations to Spencer Masick on helping his team lead his team to that upset. And congratulations to all of our Division 1 and Division 2 performers of the week, as well as our performances of the week by Brian Conley and Sam Harris. I'm afraid that's all the time we have here on the field with Captain Quality. I've had a lovely time. I hope you did as well. Tune in next week, Wednesday, always Wednesday, 8 to 9. I'll be here. Should you love it, you're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu.
No, I don't like you, I just thought you were cool enough to kick it. Got a beach house I could sell you in Idaho.